Hey there, this is Brian Zond, and welcome to my sermon podcast. I'm glad that you're interested in the sermons that I preach here at Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And if you ever feel inclined to help us by supporting us financially, you can do that at our website, WOLC.com. Thank you. Our gospel reading this Sunday is Luke's account of the Annunciation. The announcement that the angel Gabriel brings to Mary. I want to read it again. I want you to hear it a second time. I will not be putting the text on the screen. I want you just to listen, but instead I've put on the screen a very famous painting by Henry Osawa Tanner, painted in 1898. I think it's my favorite artistic depiction of the Annunciation. Unlike the medieval depictions of this event, this really leans heavily into realism. And so, with your ears, I want you to hear this reading from Luke's Gospel, but with your eyes, gaze upon this image and let it seem to draw you into this very mysterious and holy moment. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Rejoice, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Amen. It was through a young, poor Jewish maiden living in the backwater Galilean village of Nazareth during the Roman occupation of the first century that the eternal Logos, the Word of God, the divine logic of love, took on flesh, becoming incarnate and fully human. In Christian theology, this is known as the incarnation. And Mary is known as the Theotokos, the God-bearer. The incarnation of Christ through the Theotokos is one of the most sublime confessions of the Christian faith. It's the sacred mystery of how through a cooperation of the Spirit and humankind, the Holy becomes enfleshed. My Advent sermon this Sunday morning is entitled, "Enfleshing the Holy." 6 months after Mary's cousin Elizabeth became pregnant with John the Baptist, the angel Gabriel shows up in the insignificant village of Nazareth. I mean, the whole world knows of Nazareth today, but it needs to be noted that Nazareth was truly nowhere. It was tiny, it was obscure, it was insignificant. It wasn't Jerusalem, it wasn't Rome, it wasn't Athens, it was Nazareth, which means nowhere. Be careful about thinking that you got to run around to where the action is to find what God is doing. God has a habit of liking to show up where you expect to find God last. The angel Gabriel comes from heaven to the insignificant village of Nazareth to announce to a young maiden who is engaged but not yet married that she is going to bear a son and that she is to name him Yahshua. Yahweh's salvation. Jesus. Well, Mary is understandably confused and a little bit afraid. So the angel tells Mary three important things. Number one, don't be afraid. That's what angels always say. You ever notice that? Angels always say that. It's what heaven has to say to earth. Don't be afraid. I give a lot of interviews on podcasts these days. I don't know, I probably did 30 this year. And they interview me generally about my books and stuff like that, but at the end of the interview, oftentimes, various podcasts will ask me some different questions. Sometimes they'll ask me, what are the most influential books I've read? And I can do that. I give them a list of those. Sometimes they'll want to have more fun and they'll ask me, what are my favorite all-time albums? And I love doing stuff like that. But several podcasts have asked me this question, what would you say, if you had the opportunity, what would you say to your younger self? What would Brian in his 50s say to Brian in his 20s? Oh, that's a great question. Think about that. You know, you go back in time and meet yourself. I don't know what that does to the timeline continuum and all of that. But what would Brian in his 50s say to Brian in his 20s? Well, there's a lot I'd like to say that I know he wouldn't listen to, so what's the point? So what would I say? I've thought about it. What would I say? Other than invest in Apple, what would I say? I've decided that what I would say is three words. Don't be afraid. Just don't. Of course there'll be hard times and there'll be difficulties and there'll be challenges. That's life. But don't be afraid. You don't need to be. It's not worth it. Don't be afraid. You know, in the book of Revelation, pastors are called angels. I love that. Because pastors are sometimes called other things, you know. And so, since the book of Revelation calls pastors angels, I want to be an angel today. I want to be an angel sent from heaven to you today to announce to you, don't be afraid. Come on, listen to your angel. Your angel is telling you, don't be afraid. You say, yeah, but I got this report and I got this diagnosis and this is going on and I'm facing this situation. I'm saying to you, don't be afraid. You know why? Well, because of the second thing that the angel said to Gabriel, or that the angel Gabriel said to Mary, you have favor with God. Again, this angel wants to tell you, you have favor with God. God likes you. Why do we love our children? You know, we do. Why do we love our children? Because they're our children. You can't go any deeper than that. We love our children because they're our children. I mean, we see ourselves in them. They bear our image. But really, there's nothing to be said other than we love our children because they're our children. And I want to tell you, you are a child of God. And God has deep affection for you. He has no disposition towards you other than unconditional, unwavering, unending love. You are favored by God. Let go of the angry God image that got stuck in your head somewhere along the way. Just let it go. Let it go. Because the angel comes from heaven to tell you, you have favor with God. Third thing the angel said is that Jesus, because that's the baby she's going to have and that's the name that she's to give him, Jesus will be a king and his kingdom will never end. Well, I think Mary understood in one sense what the angel was saying. That her son is going to be the Messiah. That's what, you know, Messiah is the king. It's the anointed king of Israel. But not just any king, the king that's going to bring about God's purposes. I mean, Mary belongs to the royal lineage. She's in the line of David, but I mean, a lot of things have gone crazy over those centuries. And now she's a poor peasant living in the nowhere village of Nazareth. And the royal line now is descending from the Herods. And yet, the angel says that your son, whom you're to name Jesus, Yahweh's salvation, is going to be a king. Not only that, his kingdom will never end. Mary could hear that and she could accept it perhaps, but she could never imagine how it would happen or what that kingdom would actually look like. Imagine teenage Mary being told she's going to have a son, he'll be a king, his kingdom will never end. Imagine how she tries to grasp that, how she thinks about it. And of course, she gets it wrong. She cannot help but get it wrong. But here's the thing. Mary can believe what she can't understand. We believe much more than we understand or explain. We have the confession of the mystery. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. I understand Christ has died. I understand a little bit of Christ has risen, although the full implication and what that actually looks like, I'm not quite sure. Christ will come again. Well, I can try to imagine what that's like, and I know I'll get it wrong. I confess Christ will come again, but I don't know what that looks like. I know some of you are quite sure what it looks like, but I have my doubts. But I don't have to understand it. I don't have to figure it out. I believe it. I confess it. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. The confession of the mystery. I just believe. But of course, Mary does have some questions. I mean, she's been told she's going to have a baby. She's not married and she's not promiscuous. So, how's this going to work? Her question is, how can this be? I don't know a man. That's her question. But that's all right. I mean, heaven's not afraid of our questions. She can ask the question. How can this be? I don't know a man. Well, I don't know a man. That's the literal. That's what it literally says. It's a euphemism, of course, for I'm a virgin. But I like the euphemism. I like the literal euphemism. I don't know a man. I like it because the moment the Spirit suggests that God might do something through us, our initial instinct is to come up with reasons why it can't be done. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know enough. I don't know the right people. I don't live in the right place. I'm not qualified. I don't have enough good gifts. I don't have enough education. That's what we do. She says, how can this be? I don't know a man. The angel says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. How? The Holy Spirit. How can this be? The Holy Spirit. How can this be? I don't know a man. You don't need to know a man. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. She who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. She's going to be overshadowed. Her limitation, her impossibility doesn't matter, because she's about to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. So Mary is the Theotokos, is the theological term the church has used for 2,000 years. And she is the unique Theotokos. She is the mother of Jesus Christ. But there's a deeper sense in which Mary is given to us as an enduring archetype. We're all to be a kind of Theotokos and give flesh to something holy, seeking incarnation. That's what I want you to hear this morning. That you too are to enflesh the holy. You also are to be a kind of Theotokos. You too are supposed to give birth through your life to something holy that will not come into the world any other way. This is the whole point of our spiritual practices, you know. Our prayer, our contemplation, sacred reading, sacrament, spiritual direction, all the other things that we do. The whole point is to be overshadowed by the Spirit. To be immersed in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. A lot of different language, but overshadowed by the Spirit, immersed in the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, so that we can enflesh and give birth to something that is truly holy. Now, by holy, I don't mean religious and pious. God is interested in a whole lot more than religious piety. By the word holy, I mean what the word itself actually indicates. Something authentically other. That's what holy really means. It's the other. It's something not typical. It's the other. God is holy because God is the ultimate transcendent other. God has no contingency. I know I'm using some philosophical terms here. But God is not contingent upon any other thing. I mean, you and I were contingent beings. I can say I am because of my parents and because of, you know, I can go through the lineage and a lot of other things. I am because of these contingencies. But when the living God reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush in Sinai, he says, I am that I am. God is his own eternal and internal contingency. God is not dependent upon anything else. He's the ultimate transcendence. So it's true. God is the ultimate transcendence, but it's also true that the Spirit of God is always seeking to enter in. He's seeking incarnation. He's seeking enfleshment. The Spirit of God is always seeking human expression. The Word, the divine Logos, the logic of God, always wants to become flesh and dwell among us. The second verse of the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God, the wind of God, the breath of God, the Ruach, was brooding over the waters. So we're given this image of chaos and dark waters out of which nothing seems to quite make sense. But the Spirit of God, the breath of God, the wind of God, it's all the same word, Ruach of God, is brooding, it's hovering, just waiting to enter into the material world. Mary became the Theotokos when the Spirit overshadowed her and she conceived Christ. So we say he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That's what we confess in the Apostles' Creed. But the Spirit wants you also to become a Theotokos by conceiving something other, something holy, something from God. So we might need to ask, who is this Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit. Now we can give a technical theological answer. We can say, well, this is the second person of the Trinity, or the third person of the Trinity. This is the Spirit that proceeds from the Father and the Son. But I'm not really interested in a technical theological answer this morning. So let's begin by saying that the Holy Spirit is not the unholy Spirit. Sometimes it helps us to understand what something is by understanding what it's not. The Holy Spirit is not the unholy Spirit. And what is the unholy Spirit? Well, this is what the Bible calls Hasatan in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the Satan, what the Bible calls diabolos in the Greek, in the New Testament, devil. They both mean the same thing. It means the slanderer, the accuser, the prosecutor, the persecutor. The Holy Spirit is not that. The Holy Spirit is not the accuser. The Holy Spirit is not the slanderer. The Holy Spirit is not the persecutor or the prosecutor. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of advocacy. The Spirit of love. I like to think the Holy Spirit is the attitude of God. You know, we use the word spirit and attitude often very interchangeably in our vocabulary. We talk about somebody has a good spirit, we mean they have a good attitude. Somebody would say, well, their spirit's all wrong. We mean their attitude. The Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son is the very attitude of the God who is love. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love, of advocacy, of intercession, of help. Of love intending to bring whatever is needed to whatever is lacking. This is the Holy Spirit. Now, if we can allow ourselves to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, that is, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of advocacy, the holy attitude of God, if we can allow ourselves to be overshadowed by that Spirit, we can conceive something holy, something that can save, something that can heal. And we can bring it into the world. If we can be overshadowed by the Spirit, if we can be overshadowed by the Spirit, we can become a Theotokos. We can bear something holy from God into this world. Bethlehem is unique, but it's not the only time that God ever tried to birth something into the world through a human being that would cooperate. You too are to be a Theotokos, so overshadowed by the Holy Spirit that you find yourself conceiving and giving birth to something that is holy from God that brings hope and healing and salvation into your world. But only if you're overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. You can't do this on your own. How can this be? The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, but only if the Holy Spirit overshadows you. And see, the thing is, there's a lot of spirits in the world. And there's a lot of spirits that are not holy. There are a lot of unholy spirits in the world. A lot of them are found on cable news. I feel like preaching right now. Spirits of accusation and slander. Spirits of who's to blame. Spirits of hate and violence. Spirits of racism and nationalism. Unholy spirits of accusation. If we're overshadowed by those spirits, we will not be a Theotokos. We'll be a Diabolos Tokos. A Diabolo Tokos. I just made that word up. A Diabolo Tokos. You'll find Theotokos in theological tomes. You will not find Diabolo Tokos in theological books yet. I just coined it though. I mean, you know what that means, right? If you know Theotokos is God-bearer, you know what Diabolotokos is. We don't need any more devils in the world. There's enough devils already in the world. We don't need to birth anymore. But if you are continually, regularly overshadowed by the unholy spirits of this age, that's what you're going to conceive. That's what you're going to give birth to. And you'll be, unfortunately, Diabolotokos. So, day by day, we sit with Jesus. We sit with Scripture. We sit in prayer and in contemplation so that we can be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and become a Theotokos. You are favored by God. I'm an angel today. Bible says I am. I'm an angel. My name is Brian, not Gabriel. But I believe I'm sent from heaven to tell you, you're favored by God. God looks with favor upon you. Rejoice. Oh, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're favored by God.
And God wants to bring something wonderful through you into the world. You say, how can this be? Well, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, turn you into a Theotokos. It won't be you, it's the Holy Spirit. But you have to cooperate. You have to say, she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You have to spend some time. Turn off that nonsense. Turn off that noise. Turn off that anger. Turn off that vitriol that comes into your house 700 channels a time. Sit with Jesus. Sit with the text. Sit in prayer and contemplation. Let the Holy Spirit, the spirit of advocacy, the spirit of love, the very attitude of God overshadow you so you can become a Theotokos. Now, our Catholic brothers and sisters are very captured by the imagination of this Theotokos, this virgin who, overshadowed by the Spirit, brings something holy into the world. They're very captured by that imagination. And so, from time to time, you'll hear them speak of visions of Mary. And I'm not here to judge it, or endorse it, or critique it either way. I just say that's what that side of the family does with that a lot. And they have a lot of stories. My Protestant incredulity is enough to be a bit skeptical of most of that. On the other hand, I did see a vision of Mary, the Theotokos. I saw a vision of Theotokos today. I saw it in our bulletin. I did. I saw a vision of the Theotokos. This is not a vision of the Theotokos on a cheese sandwich. This is in our bulletin. And it says, Project 58. Your Project 58 donations paid for a nice meal for the Open Door Food Kitchen's Christmas party for 200 people. Word of Life Church volunteers enjoyed cooking and serving the food. All right, now stick with me. Open Door Food Kitchen. You go there because you're in need. I'll just speak bluntly. You go there because you're poor. Maybe homeless. Troubled. There's not enough. And you live at a time when there are many who want to demean the poor and critique the poor and accuse the poor and slander the poor. And they say, what did they do to be poor? Maybe they didn't work hard enough. Maybe not. What are they doing? What's wrong with them? That's the unholy spirit. That's a spirit of the slander that wants to blame the poor for being poor. But there are some others that have been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. They've become a Theotokos. It's an apparition of the Theotokos in St. Joe. That they show up to cook meals and feed. But then I saw something. I actually saw an apparition of a Theotokos. I saw it on Instagram. It was on Megan's account. I'm scrolling through my Instagram, and there's Megan Taylor, our social ministry director, and she had a picture of a woman, but her back's to me, so I can't tell who she is. But Megan had drawn, highlighted her, drew a little heart around her, and she wrote this. This is what she wrote about it. She said, our Word of Life volunteers were serving at the food kitchen's annual Christmas party today. I noticed a volunteer as she wandered from table to table, listening to people's stories, offering hugs, feeding kids, wiping their faces, while telling them that they are special and loved, praying for people and making everyone feel welcome. Megan called her a volunteer. I'm going to upgrade her. I call her a Theotokos. She's giving birth to the Holy. She's along with all those other volunteers, understand that it's Christmas time and everybody deserves a Christmas party. So you have those that are under the unholy spirit and they say, well, the rich deserve this. And the rich deserve that. They pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. And if you believe that, just try it. See how high off the ground you get. But this Theotokos knows that everybody deserves a Christmas party. Because that's the way God is. That's the way the Holy is. And so I want us to pray for a moment here. I want us to pray a prayer that's not our prayer. It's the prayer of the great and original Theotokos. It's what Mary said to all of this. She said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So here I am. I'm your angel today. I've shown up to tell you that God wants to bring something holy through you into the world. I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid. I'm here to tell you that you have favor with God. I'm here to tell you that though you think it's impossible, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And what do you say to all that? You say this, "Behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Just close your eyes. Maybe lift your hands a little bit. "Behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Pray this with me. Say it with me. "Behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Pray it again. "Behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." One more time. "Behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then, what happens next? Well, at the right time, the Spirit will prompt you. You say, to do what? I don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just a lowly angel. I'm just telling you that you're chosen, you're favored, you're going to be overshadowed by the Spirit, and the Spirit's going to move you to do something, and you're going to bring something wonderful and saving and holy into the world. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to come to the table of the Lord in the moment, and everyone here, everyone is invited to come. We'll offer you bread. We'll say the body of Christ broken for you. Take a piece of bread. We'll offer the cup. We'll say the blood of Christ shed for you. Dip the bread in the cup and partake and participate in the body and blood of Jesus.